pray for the Church of Highlands. Amen. We are connected with them, and they've been a great influence on us working better to serve people better. And if you've ever been to the Grow Conference, and if you haven't, amen, ask the Lord to help you get there one time, because you will experience something that'll change your life. And the elders and myself, along with several of the church staff, have been there, and we know the heart of the ministry there. And it's not what's going on right now in our communities, in our world. And they're under big, big, big attack from darkness. Has anybody ever been misunderstood before? Has anybody ever felt like someone else didn't understand your heart? You know what I'm talking about. And in our world right now, without God, it's really hard to connect, and we need to get connected. We need him to be the substance that brings us together so that we can all be who we're designed to be. And so with that being said, I don't have to go into any details. You know that darkness is on the move, but the light is greater, and you are the light of the world. You matter. Because you're so powerful, and because God chose us, we're not worthy, but yet he made us worthy through his love and through his own personal sacrifice. No one can earn this salvation, but you're freely been given identity. You've been given life, amen, by the love of God. And so he asks us to do one thing. He gives us a new command and encourages us to love one another as we have been loved by him. And so that's what we do at New Life Fellowship. Let's pray for Pastor Chris Hodges, the ministry there, and the Church of the Highlands. Can we do that? Because they're impacting our world. And God's about to explode this thing even more. The effect is going to be tremendous because of the pushback at this point. Amen. We're going to hear about that today. Father, thank you for the Church of the Highlands and the heart that they have to give it all away, to love on people. It's all about your mission. Their message is clear. And the heartbeat of that ministry there is for the grander purpose of your will, Lord. Thank you for giving them clarity on the fact that you're with them. And even in their challenge, their best day is before them. We can't thank you enough for hearing us right now and letting this testimony of you being in charge begin to manifest and be heard worldwide so that hearts can come together, lives can be changed, our communities can be healed, humanity, amen, can live out its true identity. And everybody say amen. 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 Anybody believe that? He's a God of promise, isn't he? And he has promised everybody, amen, righteousness, peace, and joy in his presence. Everybody's been given that promise. Now, how has everybody experienced that? And has everybody stepped into that where they're living that out? And many of us here today would love to have a little bit more joy, a little bit more peace, a little bit more comfort in knowing that, I truly am who he says I am. You have been made the righteousness of God. And he's okay that we're flawed. He's okay that we're challenged. And we're finding out, many of us are realizing that for everything that Jesus does for us, we need to ask him for more. I need Jesus more than I've ever needed him before. How is that, Pastor? Amen. Because the more I know about him, the more I realize I need of him. Amen. And so my best day hasn't been lived yet. I don't want to go back and relive 57 plus years. I want to live in the moment. I want to slow down, amen, and get in rhythm with the one that's in charge and hear his song and get in timing with him and in melody with him and say what he's saying. Jesus came and teaches all of us that if we'll only say what we hear him say and do what we see him do, wow factor happens. Not that you're not going to be pushed back on. And he's going to do that even while we're being flawed. Even while we don't have it all together. And so today we're talking about a God of promise. And we want to get a hold of this with passion. Jesus, I need my promise. Something about getting excited about it. Until out of you erupts a shout, a voice of triumph. Maybe you're not there, but I can assure you for the next few moments, because you've been put together by him in such a powerful and detailed manner, that he's going to stir something up in you, and it's going to cause you to want to leap for joy. It's going to cause you to want to shout with a voice. It's going to cause you to want to maybe get beside yourself. Clap your hands, lift your hands, and surrender to him being the king, your daddy. Amen. Your royalty. He picked you out of all of his creation. He's chosen you. And he's not looking at your flaw. He's not looking at your failure. He's not looking at your past. And the promise still belongs to you. It's time to receive it. It's time to receive it. And there's a way that we can receive what belongs to us. And God has so positioned himself with you, and he's so into you, into details of your life, that he's already planned that when you're ready, he's going to be passing by at that moment. He knows your heart better than you know your heart. He knows exactly when you've had enough of being without him. But the truth of the matter, you're not without him. He's there. Whatever we do in life, he's right there. And even though we're not doing what we should be doing, he's not bothered by that. He's after something. He's after a relationship. He's so in love with us, he looks beyond our flaw. Hard-headedness, arrogance. And he keeps extending mercy every day. Okay, it's about to happen. I'm gonna be passing by at the right time when they've had enough. And then they're going to get excited about the fact that, you know, he's been with me the whole time. And some of you are going to get that today. Amen. You're tired, you're wore out, you're beat up, and you're going to get that today. You're going to realize he's been with you the whole time. He hadn't disowned you. The enemy told you he disowned you. The enemy told you he wasn't worthy. The enemy has told you all kinds of lies. And every promise from heaven belongs to you. And if you'll find out if you'll trust him and believe it and receive it, you've been his favorite all the time. God has favorites. And he picked Adam 6,000 years ago and named him his favorite, our daddy. And you and I came out of Adam, male and female. We came out of them, and we're humanity, and we're his favorite. Now, not everybody's accepting their identity. They're not accepting all the promises that belong to us. But today you can. And if the Lord has his way, and I'm thankful that he can use a vessel like me that's flawed, that needs him more and more each passing day to encourage you. Amen. In Hebrews 6:18, it says it this way, our theme scripture. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, and it's dangling in front of us all the time. We just don't know it. We're not aware of it. Nothing, or rather reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God. When you take hold of it, it will take you right into his presence. I'm not far from any one of you that feel after me, is what he says. That the moment you tune in and begin to feel after him from right here, he said, I will suddenly come to my house and I will make my abode, I will make my place of rest in my house. You're his house. You're his resting place. Pastor, I didn't know God need a resting place. I didn't know God get tired. Amen. You know, he created us. He made us in his image. And he longs for relationship more than we. Does anybody love a good, healthy relationship? He longs for relationship more than we do. He's passionate about that. So that when the moment we start tuning in and reaching for him, he's such a good daddy. I mean, he's right there picking us up like his little babies, bouncing us on his knees, and not concerned about anything that we feel like the enemy said to us is true. It's not from his lens. That's how special we are, and he wants you to receive your promise. Amen. Jesus loves to show his strength over pandemics in our world. He loves to heal the emotional and relational divides in our world. He loves doing that. It lets the world know who he really is. And right now, the greatest opportunity our world has is to get a revealing of Jesus Christ and what he's all about. He understands where we are. He was rejected of all men. Despised. Come on. No one suffered like he did. He was killed in the very house of his friends, is what the scripture says. He knows where we are, and he's ready to meet us right where we are and blow our mind about how he can bring all of his promises, his kingdom, in waves. This is his promise to us. If you look at the word promise, this is what a promise means. It's a declaration or an assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. In other words, before you leave today, it's God's will that you have a knowing that the promise belongs to you. You can't explain how you have it, but you know it. Does anybody want to leave today with a knowing? I can't tell you how I've got this, but I know it. Because if you can get a knowing from right here, the potential, amen, of you stepping into places in the spirit and into true identity becomes paramount immediately. Now, let me give you the verb of this particular word, promise. It assures someone that one will definitely do, give, or arrange something, that something will happen, give good grounds for expecting a particular occurrence or situation. I love this one. And when they said, what means this? These people are speaking in our language and they're not of our culture. What is going on? What's this language? This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Come on. A particular occurrence, an experience, something that moves you into a knowing. God set this up and used prophets to prophesy. He said, I'm going to give you an experience. There's an occurrence going to take place. And when this occurrence takes place in you, the promise is going to abide in you. You're going to know something you can't explain. And when you grab a hold of that lifeline, it's going to move you immediately into the presence of God. I don't know about y'all, but presence of God helps me get over me. Because I'll start thinking thoughts that sound right. Matter of fact, I might even debate with you on what I'm thinking. But I have found that debating doesn't bring peace and joy. It brings strife, amen, and division. But if Jesus is truly in me, come on now, this is good for somebody, I'm only going to say what he says. And it won't be in your face. Now the enemy gets in our face. Jesus doesn't get in our, unless we join with him and follow him, only then we give him permission, get up in my Kool-Aid. Help me, Lord, I need you. And he has times where he will meet us right there where a father is disciplining his son because he loves him. But most people hadn't got to that place where they've given him that kind of permission to get in their face. But the enemy has been in their face all their life. Hello? And they're wondering why there's no peace and joy in their life. They go to church every Sunday. They clap your hands when the music's going, and you know, that was a good message, preacher, but there's no joy, there's no peace. This is tracking with some of us today. The promise is not present. The Lord's not really. When you get a hold of this lifeline called the baptism of spirit and fire, it moves you into his presence. And you're not in anybody's face other than the fact that you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Amen. You step in your true identity. And now because you are hosting God's presence, you move into a room and all of a sudden, amen, people recognize Jesus is there. Does anybody want to walk with the Lord in a way when you walk into a room, all of a sudden anything that's not right and kind of messed up and tension, gossip, division. When you walk into the room, all those spirits run. I didn't say people, I said the spirits. Because when you stepped into the room, Jesus stepped into the room. And when Jesus is the room, he's better than, and this dates me, you know, there was a commercial, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Y'all remember that, right? Oh, the next generation don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. When Jesus speaks, even the demons listen and tremble. That's how powerful love is. It don't get in your face. Amen. It comes with open arms and an invitation of hope and love. We're going to read here in Luke 18 about a man, a particular miracle that screams at us of a man that gets what he wants from Jesus. Anybody ready to get what you want from Jesus? Everybody in this room ought to want something from Jesus. And so it goes this way in Luke 18, 35. As Jesus and his followers arrived at Jericho, there was a blind beggar sitting on a roadside. Now keep in mind, This man is blind and he's begging. In the book of Mark names him blind Bartimaeus. His society had labeled him a blind beggar. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not really excited about being, if I'm lame, called Lame Larry. If I'm sick, Sick Sally. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you can't figure nothing out, being called Dumb Dunny. And the list goes on. Our surroundings will label us based on how it sees us. So when he, speaking of the blind beggar, when he heard the crowd approaching, he asked, "What is this commotion about?" "It's Jesus," they said. "Jesus the Nazarene is passing by." The blind beggar shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity and show me mercy." It's obvious that this man had decided prior to Jesus coming to Jericho that the next time Jesus is in town, I'm gonna get his attention. Well, somebody's gonna catch this in a minute. The next time, I feel his presence, I'm going to get his attention. Next time I'm around someone that ushers in God's presence into my space, I'm going to get his attention. This is important. Those who were in front of the crowd scolded him and warned him to be quiet. Has anybody ever shushed you before? Told you to be quiet? Totally unaware of your pain, unaware of your dilemma, unaware of your suffering? Telling you to be quiet when you're looking for the one that is the answer to the pain in your life. But this blind beggar gets louder. And he screamed, "Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy." He made up his mind, "I'm not going to let the voices around me have more influence than the one I need in my life. I'm not going to let the situations in my life dictate how I respond and how I posture myself." Is anybody getting this? We got to catch this. When you get to a place where I gotta have Jesus, you won't care what other people think, what the public says and what the culture says. What you need is Jesus to pay attention to where you are. And it says that suddenly, when he'd done this the second time, Jesus stopped and told those who were nearby, bring the man over to me. When this blind beggar made up his mind he wasn't going to let circumstance and influence around him stop him, that's when Jesus stopped in his tracks. Now, I'm just going to encourage you, because I want to take a few moments and go through the points here, amen, in the next few minutes. But I got to encourage you right now to know that when you get pushback, you're closer to your miracle than you think. When there's a little bit of resistance, know that your promise is right in front of you. All you need to do is make up your mind, I'm not letting my surroundings and who has labeled me hold me captive any longer. I'm going to get my promise. And we're living right now in a time where there's a lot of pushback. Let's read on. So Jesus tells those who are nearby, bring the man to me. And when they brought him before Jesus, he asked the man, what is it you want from me? Want me to do for you? Now, Jesus is wanting to say that to everybody in this room right now. What is it that you want me to do for you? Daddy is asking you that question, but you got to have an ear to hear it. Amen. And so, Lord, he said, please, I want to see again, which infers that at one time he wasn't blind. At one time he could see, but now he can't. And Jesus says, why? Well, now you will see. Receive your sight this moment, for your faith in me has given you sight and new life. Amen. Instantly, he could see again. His eyes popped open and he saw Jesus. He shouted the third time, loud, and praises God, and he followed Jesus. And when the crowd saw what had happened, they too erupted with shouts and praised God. The result of Jesus being there for us in our pain is what his promise is all about. He knows that if we ever experience him, his love in the right way, I'm going to just tell you something. Everything that's happened in my life came because I made decisions that brought it there. I've made some pretty bad decisions in my life. I've made horrible decisions in my life. And the things that I have suffered, the pain that I have endured because of those decisions, Jesus didn't bring that. I brought that through choice. But the beautiful thing about Jesus, he knows that's going to work something good. That the pain and the challenges that I've had in my life and the failure and the sin and the darkness that I've experienced in my life is going to bring about something between me and him that's going to be eternally settled. I'm going to get all in. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to worship him on the greatest level that you can worship, and that's trust. And so, I want to give you three key responses that the blind man does in relation to hearing that Jesus is in town. Then I'm going to give you three of Jesus' responses, of which you read with me. And see if today, if this lines up with where you are. And if you believe God believes in you and cares for you on the same level. Amen. Is this okay? So the first thing that this blind man that's been labeled as a blind beggar did was he recognized he had a problem. He recognized he had a problem. He acknowledged the truth about himself. And today, let me tell you something. If you really want to enjoy what God's ready to do in your life, acknowledge the truth about where you are. The moment you get honest with yourself and you tell the truth, come on, become transparent, be real. It's something about healthy confrontation that makes a difference. The moment you get real about where you're at, then Jesus will tell you about him. Why does he want me to tell me about him? Because the moment I hear him about him, I have now been given an opportunity to repent, to change the way I think about who I am. He's only telling me about who he is because that's the identity he's chosen for us. Somebody's going, all of a sudden, repentance is not a bad word no more, is it? All of a sudden, it looks like, man, you live a life of repentance. Because the more you hear what the Spirit is saying about who he is, you accept your true identity and step into the role God gave you. But it has to start with me being honest and truthful about where I'm at. This blind man recognized he had a problem. I'm blind. I'm a beggar. And that's not okay. I know my surroundings and the city I lived in, they're okay with me being that. And I've been acting like it's okay being that. But that's not who I am. And so, the only vision that this blind beggar had was the past things he could remember that he saw. He can't see today. Amen. And so, the social compass of our nation, the challenges that we are enduring right now is because we can't see clearly. And we need God to open up our eyes. We need to see our brothers and our sisters as they truly are. We are our brother's keeper. It is our role to serve, amen, that great new commandment that Jesus left us 2,000 years ago, that we love one another as he loved us. And the moment I begin to value you more than I value my own existence, all of a sudden I get this special endowment from heaven. The moment I join with Jesus on how he perceives you and I agree with him on how he sees you, all of a sudden I'm stepping into my identity and peace and joy follows that. Can't do that without Jesus, can you? You see, he said that you love one another as I have loved you. So some of us are saying today, Pastor, I need to experience the love of God. You don't have to raise your hand. But before you leave today, while you're sitting right there, while I'm preaching this good news of hope, amen, the message of the kingdom, while I'm where you're sitting, you can be filled with the Spirit and with fire. Because once you experience that, guess what? You have something now to give. You now can love others as you've been loved. Did you know the baptism of God's Spirit and fire is the experience of God's love in one's life? There's no greater experience of God's love than him to come to you and transform you and resurrect you from dead to life. There's no greater experience of God's love is when Adam, the former Adam, fell, rejected God. Come on. And now, because of the second man, Adam, Jesus Christ, we who are dead can live again. And that life comes because of an experience between heaven and earth. God brought heaven to earth when he sent his son. And the whole purpose for the plan of God is that we pick up where the Adamic Adam left off, and we step into our new role as the second man, Adam, alive, ready to take care of God's business and its people. But if I got heartburn and I have challenges with relationships in my life, it's because I can't see. And I need Jesus to give me my promise. The second thing that this blind beggar did, amen, and after he recognized he was blind and he was a beggar. And by the way, when you're begging, the problem is that you're blind. Just pausing for effect here. Blind and begging go together. Now, I know our culture is trying to stop that because handicaps, they want to try to make the slate even. But evidence, amen, of begging comes from not seeing correctly. And I'm very careful here to step out. When I think you owe me something, it's because I'm blind. You don't owe me anything. This is important for everybody to catch. The only reason I think you owe me something is because I'm in a beggar's place. It's amazing how that I can look at what God treasures and put them in a box and then require them to live up to my desires. Now, I like to be liked. Anybody like to be liked? And so if I'm not careful because I like to be liked, I'll require you to like me. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? And to do that, I require you to like me. And everybody likes likes. Pastor, you need to move on. There's a symptom that's going on when I'm driven because I need you to like me. The second thing this man does, he prays. By the way, the effectual fervent prayer of someone that's in their true identity, the effectual fervent prayer of one that knows who they are avails much. If you're still guessing on who you are, your prayer's not going to get very far. But if you come to realize through the experience of God's love, the baptism of his spirit and fire, that you have been adopted into his family, when you pray, you're going to move heaven. When you pray, the enemy's going to shake in his pointy toe boots and he's ready to run. When you open your mouth because you've been loved like you designed to be loved, you're going to say exactly what your father is saying and you're going to do exactly what your father is doing. Prayer moves heaven. Now, this man couldn't see. So we know that faith doesn't come by seeing like our world says. The world says, no, seeing's believing, Pastor. Oh, I got to see it before I believe. Anybody ever? I used to agree with that to a degree. I mean, if I could see it, I'd believe it. And so what we do, we start running from one magician to the next. Or one ministry to the next. Faith don't come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the very living, living word, the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice. If you have an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen? Faith comes by hearing. And so prior, amen, to this man getting his miracle, some things happened in his spirit, and he come to a place where the next time I'm around Jesus, I'm going to get his attention. And Jesus knew that. That's what I love about this story. Amen. And it changed everything. There's one thing that humanity needs to hear presently, other than the news and the media, which I'm not beating up on our news and media. But if the news and media has more of a foothold in your life than God, then you probably need to push back on news and media and pay attention to what the one who truly in charge is saying. Amen. The voice of God is so important, and you're not weird when you can hear God speak. You're a son of God when you can hear God speak. You're a child of the kingdom. Amen? So prayer should always be the first priority, never the last resort. Amen? Prayer should always be the first priority, not ever the last resort. And so the blind beggar didn't just pray once, he prayed again, and he moved heaven. He got serious and stopped Jesus in his tracks. But the third thing that we find out he did, amen, is he begins to praise God. When did that praise happen? After he pushed back from being shushed, being told to be quiet, he pressed in and got even louder. Pastor, are you saying it's okay to get louder? Are you saying it's okay to get beside myself and make sure that the culture around you knows I'm going after my promise? I'm not living up to an idea of what I should be based on culture's opinion. I'm going to be who God says I am. It's time to push back, not get in someone's faces. This is so important for us to get. Be sure that when you shout, shout at the right target when you decide to shout. Oh, man, this is what God's telling me to encourage you with today. Amen. We need to direct our shouting to Jesus, not one another. We need to direct our focus on the source that makes the difference and not try to legislate, amen, a change. Tony, you said it right. You cannot legislate goodwill. It don't work. Jesus, well, come on now. God did that when he put together the Ten Commandments, and then they kept adding to it, trying to get everybody to do right, and it don't work. The thing that changes us is Jesus. He makes the difference. And when you start loving one another as you've been loved, the world changes. Amen. Somehow, God is getting into the mix in our world. And ladies and gentlemen, remember this. It was a shout that brought down the walls of Jericho, and it's going to be a shout that brings the walls that hold you captive down, that box you in. Pastor, what are you promoting here? We all going to be rolling on the floor and running around a building. And let me just tell you. Let me just get this clear. Whatever it takes for me to get my promise. Jesus chose the foolish things of the world to confound the. Now, just to help you out, the world's no different than us. Who's your favorite football team? If you get beside yourself on them making a touchdown, more than you get beside yourself when you're in the presence of God, we got a problem in Houston. This thing ain't getting off the ground, but I don't know about y'all, it's time for it to get off the ground. It's time to serve the devil notice. Amen. I'm wired to get beside myself. I'm wired to get loud. I'm wired to be, come on, I know, I've heard it. That's not me, Pastor. I'm not me. I'm reserved and no. You have believed that lie from the enemy long enough. You have carried that curse with you long enough. It's time to take that tongue, the most unruly member, and give it back to the one that gave it to you and be his mouthpiece. Amen. And by the way, do you understand what clapping actually does? It represents victory. It represents victory. He's already won this thing. He's waiting on us to get it. Amen. And quickly, Jesus' response to this man was that, I like that, he made sure that he was passing by. I am confident and I'm passionate about the fact that God knows exactly where you are. And if you make your bed in hell, he says, I'll be right there. And you can just settle that matter. Wherever you've been in your life when it was bad, even though you didn't feel like he was there, he was right there. Because the enemy will work overtime to get you to believe that God's a million miles away. And did y'all know that you can believe something and the dynamic of what you believe will show up where you're at? And if you believe God is so far away, you will feel like he's so far away. And because you believe, the enemy's been given access to make you feel like God's that far away. But he's not. He ain't never been that far away from me. He's right there with you wherever you are, and he's waiting on you in that very unique moment to pass by. Interesting enough, Jesus goes to a city that he made clear to Israel, don't raise the gates of it up again. Y'all know God said that about Jericho? And yet, Jesus goes to Jericho because somebody got ready for him. And he don't do a miracle in Jericho, he does it outside of Jericho. Jesus never stopped in Jericho, he walked through Jericho. And he does a miracle on the outside of Jericho for this blind beggar, blind Bartimaeus. And it was a blind beggar that caused him, the second thing he did, to pause, to stop in his tracks. And some of you are thinking, man, I don't know if I could ever get Jesus to pause, to stop in his tracks. And the enemy's good at trying to make us believe. Can't. Y'all bear with me right now. This mic's going crazy. It's the enemy's job to get us to believe that we can't cause Jesus to stop in his tracks. God bless the baby. Amen. That's a shout unto the Lord. He got me to pause, to stop in my tracks. Come on, that's a testimony right there, ladies and gentlemen. That's the Lord saying, look, you can stop me in my tracks. All you got to be willing is to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have pity on me. But then, because Jesus stopped in his tracks and said the question, oh, what is it that I can do for you? He's wanting to say that to us today. What is it that I can do for you? What is it I can do for you? And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're hungry enough and you're thirsty enough and you need him like you really need him, and you make up in your mind, I'm getting his attention. I'm going to make this body submit to the fact that he's worthy of praise. And you push back on what's pushing back on you, and you go to the next level, you'll stop him in his tracks. And you'll hear him say, what is it that I can do? You've got to be willing to ask, seek, and knock. But Pastor, the Lord knows what I need. If he wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. You ever heard that before? Where did that philosophy come from? Where did that lie come from? But Pastor, the Lord, yeah, he knows exactly what you need. The question is, are you going to go get it? And the only way you can have it is to ask, seek, and knock. He didn't say beg. He's a good father. Ask. Come get it. It belongs to you anyway. I've already given it to you. You just ain't received it. I remember in Ethiopia. Now, keep in mind, Ethiopia, interesting thing about that country, when I went there here 25 years ago, that they didn't have all the conveniences that the medical field offers our country. And so I got to have Jesus. I mean, there was stuff going on over there. Woo! And going to the next level was easy for them. In our culture, because we have so many, well, let's try this first, and I'll go to Jesus. Or let's try this, and then I'll go to Jesus. And he's working with it. He's not beating nobody. If that's what you want to do, he'll do that. He still loves us, and you're still special to him. But in Ethiopia, you couldn't try none of the stuff. You couldn't put anything to the test before you went to Jesus. You either get Jesus or you die. Right? And so I'm there. And I witnessed this, a blind beggar, never seen before. He looks to be like 80 years old. And they bring him in and set him down at the altar area where we were ministering. And while the good news was being preached, he sat at that altar. And when the invitation was given that the Lord wants to save you, the Lord wants to heal you, the Lord wants to set you free, he believed it. I've never seen this before in my life. He got up, and I saw him for the first time he could see. and tears were squirting out of his ears. I'd never seen tears squirt out of anybody's ears, eyes before. Squirting out of your ears, man, that'd been, woo. Lord, do anything, can't he? These tear ducts in his eyes were squirting tears out. And it intrigued me because I'm there. Mine are running down my face. They're just running. His is squirting out. And I'm enjoying what I see our daddy doing with one of my brothers. He done that. I left after a while. I left. He's still there at the altar. And I don't know how you can have that much tears. The joy that was all over him. And I mean, he's at the end of his life. He don't have but a few days left. And he is enjoying the presence of God and what God wanted to do with him years before. More than he wanted it. He just come to a place where it was time and Jesus came passing by. But he was there the whole time. Oh, this is good. A 17-year-old boy that was lame from birth. Brought him in, and when the message was through, he believed. Now, his legs don't have no muscles in them. Are y'all paying attention to what I'm saying, right? I witnessed this, and look, guys, I ain't got time to be drumming up stories. Heaven is my home right now. I'm not here manipulating you to believe in Jesus. I'm telling you what I know. That country didn't have the conveniences of, I can try this and get me a prosthetic. And you can take your leg off and get something stronger than the leg you had. Now, is anybody tracking with me? Our culture has almost moved Jesus out of the picture. As far as the physical side is concerned. But he can work with that because we're messed up inside. This 17-year-old boy gets up and starts running. He ain't got no muscle structure, but God gave him one. He gave him some structure. He starts running around that place, and he didn't stop. I mean, I was pretty good shape then. I wasn't going to try to keep up with him. He wouldn't stop. Somebody's catching this right now. What the Lord wants to move me and you into is a place of victory, a place of promise. He's looking at you just like he looked at Caleb in the Old Testament. 40 years old, he goes out as one of the two spies of the 10 that come back with a positive report. Anybody ready to give a positive report? He come back with a positive report. Moses said, because you've come back with a positive report, he said, every thing that you put your foot on when we cross over, all the land you put your foot on is going to be your inheritance. 45 years later, Dan, he's 85. And he comes back to Joshua and he says, look, I got a promise that belongs to me and I want it. And he says, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. Give me my mountain. Because he was willing to ask. I'm telling you, the promises of the Lord are yea and amen. And 2,000 years ago on a cross, he sealed it in his blood. And he gave you the kingdom. When are you going to come and get it from him? It's already been decreed. The kingdom belongs to you. When are you going to get up and go get it? When are you going to say, Jesus! Have pity on me. Have mercy on me. Because when you go there and you realize he's the source and you learn how to shout at the right thing, he's going to say, what is it I can do for you? What is it you've been hearing me say all your life that you hadn't taken advantage of? Oh, yeah, God's been talking to you. He's already told you what belongs to you. And the enemy has worked overtime trying to convince you, oh, no, that don't belong to you. You ain't worthy. You mess up. All you do is drop the ball. All you do is get in fusses and fights. Amen. Everything's just whacked out in your life. You're not worthy. You can't have that. God, Jesus forgot you a while ago. Oh yeah, I just said several things that the enemy's told you. You may not have said it out loud, but you heard it in your spirit. And you thought it in your mind. And every time he said that about you, he was lying. But the Lord's ready to give you an experience of his presence. It's called the lifeline. If you ever let him come into his house, it's time for your mountain. It's time for your promise. It's time to win. God's talking to this family here. His voice is becoming more clear and more distinct. I'm hearing you. You're saying it. You're communicating. You're learning that the more we communicate with one another, the more breath comes in your spirit. The more agreement happens. The more unity happens. It's like the oil that poured out on Aaron's head and run down his beard onto his garment. That's where the Lord brings his blessing. And I encourage you right now, for you that are zoned into the spirit world, could we stand? You're zoned into God speaking to your spirit, and you have determined that you're only going to say what you hear him say. You're only going to do what you see him do. You know who you are. There's treasure all around you right now called people. Some of them are hurting tremendously right now. And because you were filled with his spirit, now you can be a witness to him. What are we talking about? We're talking about that person. When you've done it unto them, you've done it unto him, he said. When you touch him, you touch me. That's what Jesus said. When you go visit the prisoner, he said, you've just visited me. When you feed the hungry, you just fed me. Does anybody want to be a witness to him? That's what experiencing his love is all about. So when I experience his love, I can be a witness to him. Jesus, right there. That's why I exist. Does anybody want their promise today?